Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Three o'clock, hour of the Wendy's Big Show, along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and the Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. I'm Rami Makhlouf. Coming up this hour at about 3:35, we'll hear from Clay Matthews, see if he's settled down at all since that roughing the passer penalty 3 days ago and what he thinks of these new rules. Mike McCarthy will hear from the Packers head coach coming up at 3:48. Aaron Rodgers, we'll hear from him at 4:35. Right now we want to know, did we set our Badgers expectations too high? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan, because with visions of the college football playoff and even national championship contention dancing in their head when the season started, Sparky, Badgers fans now facing the stark reality that you just lost to BYU and playoff chances are now slim to none. Yep. Did we set our expectations too high?
Clearly. I don't know why we don't listen to Gary on this show. I really don't.
You fight him harder than anybody when he says same old Badgers.
Same old Badgers.
Yep. I tweeted at him after the BYU game. I mean, I doubt he saw it, but I tweeted him after the BYU game and I said, hey, man, Gary may not be here for a little while now after his knee surgery, but he was right again on the Badgers.
You notice how he tells him he's right when he's not going to be here for 2 or 3 weeks and he doesn't have to face
him? But I tweeted at him.
I'm just kidding.
I was literally standing in the living room watching him miss that kick. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. Here we go again. It was like that, you know, that feeling in your stomach, like when something bad happens. That's what it felt like. Like, wow, season's pretty much done now. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed it for a couple of weeks. Because now what it is okay, so what now is the expectation for the Badgers the rest of the year? Oh, goody. We can win the crappy side of the Big Ten and then go get whooped by Ohio State in the conference championship. Because if you saw Ohio State play and then you saw the Badgers play, please. At this point, there doesn't appear to be anybody in this conference close to Ohio State, based on what I saw. Mm-hmm. I don't know what everybody else saw, but Nebraska? It's going to be a while before Scott Frost gets that thing turned around, apparently. Iowa? They could beat the Badgers, but they're not good enough to beat Ohio State or any really, really good football team, I don't think. Yeah, I fell prey to it, and I apologize on behalf of myself. Because I was leading the parade of, why can't it be this year? Why can't they go be in the playoff at the top four? Why can't they be ranked fourth in the preseason AP poll? Why can't it be the Badgers, right? And you're like, man, no way. It's just not going to happen. And sure enough, didn't make it to Big Ten play before they broke our hearts. So, whatever. I mean, Badger fans get all excited about the Rose Bowl. I guess if you win your side, and then lose to Ohio State in the conference championship game. They go to the playoff. Maybe you get to. Is the Rose Bowl part of the playoffs this year?
I don't think so. I don't think it is.
I think it is.
Because I've heard a bunch of people saying, well, at least now they can still go to the Rose Bowl.
So are you saying the Rose Bowl one of the top four places?
No, it's not. It's not one of the two or three college football playoff games.
It used to be back in the day when it was bowls were a big time.
Yeah, they rotate them every year as far as what's the college football playoff, right?
Yeah. So 2019, Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl are the two semifinals. Yeah. National championship game at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara where the Niners play.
Oh, that's nice.
So Orange Bowl and Cotton Bowls, yeah.
So Rose Bowl is still in play if that's a thing.
Well, it is for Big Ten people.
Yeah, I know.
You're not going to win the Big Ten, but it's still in play. And Baby Tausch, oh boy, Baby Tausch, all over Twitter telling everybody, it's not over, they can still make it, blah, blah, blah. So then Baby Tausch declares that him and Ryan Horvat are going to do a podcast on the Badger football team the rest of the year that they're going to put up on the website. Him and Horvat, right? So I tweeted back, I said, "You saw? Are you previewing the basketball season? Is that what you're going to do?" Like, I mean, that's cool. You can go ahead. We're still going to have John McNamara on. He talks about recruiting and stuff. So that's not necessarily about having to do with right now necessarily. But, yeah, I don't know. Heartbreaking. I mean, it's one thing if you're – I'm not picking on Leroy. But it's one thing if you expect a season maybe not to be the best season you've had.
Right? That's what I said about Florida State.
Right.
We're
okay.
going to be no good for 2 years.
But you kind of figured that.
Yep.
This thing here, this is horrible. I mean, but this is us. This is dumb Badger fan getting our expectations up again when we should have been listening to Gary Ellerson, who kept telling us, don't do it. Don't fall into that trap. And we fell into it. Yep. I don't know why I don't listen to him on Badgers. Makes no sense. Stupid.
So from now on, you're going to listen to him?
Yeah.
No.
No, he's not. He's not going to listen to him. Sparky did listen to Gary when he talked about the jewelry center, though, Leroy. That's something that Sparky does listen to.
Yeah, Kay loves her ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one. And we had a little event. Steve brought Jack over there. Man, he's growing up fast. That's Steve's son. And he just walk around like he owns the place. I think he was actually looking for a ring for his wife. He's growing up so fast. You can go to leapwatch.com to try to get our commemorative watch. This year is the 25th year of when I invented the Leap. And we only have a few available. You can go to leapwatch.com. And my guy Dean will be more than happy to help you. And if you order a watch, you get a free shirt. And with that shirt, it's one leap for fan kind. And it has, actually on the bottom right hand, I got to release that video. You can open a bottle. Like if you got a, you know, you had a party or, you know, tailgating and everybody lines up, you can open.
It's got a bottle opener sewn into the shirt.
It's amazing. And you should saw the video. The first time it wouldn't, we're rolling. I said, oh, it's very easy for you to get. Couldn't get it off. It was hilarious. Second time I got it off. So you can get that for free. Your shirt by itself is $34.99. We also have the Butler Did It shirts as well on the site. You can go and get that. But mainly the watch. The watch has three bands, a gold one, a green one, and it comes with a real nice leather black one. You can pick your favorite player's number. Now, of course, I picked 36. A young lady picked Aaron Rodgers. Of course, Brett Favre is gone. But whoever your favorite player, pick that number, and it'll be yours forever. Make sure you can do that. Whoever your favorite player, I know I'm everybody's favorite, but you can't have 36. There's other players, people. I'm just assuming I'm talking to myself, by the way. So go to leapwatch.com, and you can pick your favorite player and pre-order your watches. Now, the watches will be in the November, around between end of November and December 1st, and you got to go to the Jewelry Center and pick it up. That's 7477 Layton Avenue.
Well, hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll hear from you. Did we set the Badger expectations too high? Wisconsin 414.
If you said national championship, yeah. Anything else, I don't know.
Expound on that when the Wendy's Big Show returns. Okay. You get off 414-799-1250.
I like that
tweet
word,
us
expound.
At
I like
105.7 FM The Fan, and the Big Show will be right back.
Officially a 45-yarder from the right hash. Gotta get it. The snap is low. It's held well. The kick is on its way and makes it through for three. And the Cougars are back in front. Skyler Southam from 45. And it's Cougars 24, Badgers 21.
You try to tonight. You try to tomorrow morning. We're going to look at the film tomorrow morning, and then we're going to start game planning tomorrow as well. So it has to come from, you know, those leaders and guys to really get us out of this, you know, slump, and to make sure guys don't get in that. So it's going to be a fun next couple of days to see how guys respond.
The highlight was courtesy of the BYU Radio Network. Then TJ Edwards talking about how the Badgers bounce back from a 24-21 loss to BYU on Saturday. We're asking you here on the Wendy's Big Show, did we set our Badgers expectations too high? I can talk. Did we set our Badgers expectations too high? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Sparky disheartened, deflated by that loss, and says he should have listened to Gary Ellerson when he tried to tell him that national championships, college playoffs, were not something that Badgers fans should be talking about. How about you? 414-799-1250. Let's go to Mike in Greenfield. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, gentlemen, their defense is way too young, and obviously we saw that they've got a ways to go. But that coaching staff is very good. I think they'll do a better job competing with Ohio State. Maybe I'm hoping, and I was hoping Sparky wouldn't be so doom and gloom about the Badgers, but national championship, Even so, they got that great running game and the best offensive line supposedly in college football.
That's over. Don't. That's overrated too. That's a whole nother. The way they got manhandled, you got three guys in that line that I think some were saying could be first round draft picks, and they got destroyed.
Destroyed. That's true. And as they were overrated, next year is going to be their year. But anyhow, let's hope they compete. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate
it. Thanks for the phone call, Mike. And I think that's what most teams think about. I mean, in the Big Ten, most people think the only team that really should have aspirations for the national championship is Ohio State. But by their coach not being there, you thought there was an opening. You would think there'd be an opening for you to, you know, to compete. But the non-conference schedules, that's all they always got knocked for that. So to lose to a non-conference person, you still got your non-conference team. You still got your same goals intact, but just not national championship. So I think it's everything. Your goals are still the same. You just won't win the national championship. So the guys have a lot to play for.
Got some tweets here at 105.7 FM, the fan. This is from Fogel. He says, yeah, we expected Hornibrook to play like he did against Miami when really he played way above his ability. Did that Orange Bowl go towards setting the expectations too high, Sparky, what you saw from Hornibrook?
I think Hornibrook is capable of playing that way. I do. I think he's done a lot of offseason work. He was in the Manning's football camp, I think, the last couple of years, working on getting better.
They said he was the best player.
Best player at that camp, right?
Yep, sure
I just think it's not just Hornibrook in this game. I'm sorry. You can talk about the defense and the inexperience in the secondary, which you kind of created by having two guys walk away from you.
You're going to get to the kickers?
So, well, hold on a second. So the secondary obviously is an issue because there's some young pups back there trying to figure it out as freshmen. The offensive line, which is supposed to be your strength, did not do Hornibrook any favors in that football game. BYU, I think, had one sack coming into that game. One.
Wow.
They look like world beaters. That 6'8" dude on the end just did whatever he wanted out there. Just killed him. So, for me, at least, there are other areas to point at other than Hornibrook of why they lost that football game. I'm sorry. That game is not just on Hornibrook being who he is. Not at all. That game's on the offensive line and on the secondary. Those two for sure. And then you talk about the fifth-year senior, Gaglianone. That dude, I don't normally worry about that kid when he comes in. He comes in, he kicks it, we move on. That's that. But not to be against BYU, and there goes your national championship hopes.
I just think national championship hopes, to a degree, are unrealistic in almost any given season for the Wisconsin
That's
Badgers.
What Gary has been saying.
But for different reasons than what Gary says, because I think that the system is rigged against them. If Ohio State lost this Sunday, we wouldn't be sitting here saying
Absolutely.
The playoff is out, the national championship is out. Teams like Ohio State get the benefit of the doubt. They can get into the playoff with one loss. Same thing with the Michigan. Same thing with the Notre Dame.
Alabama. It don't matter.
Your heritage programs, once they're rolling and you see some success from them for a number of years in a row.
The Badgers have had a lot of success for the last 20, 25 years.
I mean, like national championship type of success. But
also,
again,
like one of three teams in college football.
The system is rigged against a program like Wisconsin because what are the chances?
It's not rigged. You lost to BYU. You screwed yourself.
I know, but what are the chances that over the course of a college football season, there isn't going to be one week?
Listen,
one week where you're not on your game and the other team is.
If you lose.
And because one week you weren't on your game and the other team was, the whole season is right down the tubes unless you're into Rose Bowls and other consolation games.
Where was BYU ranked?
They're not. Now they are.
Oh, okay. So let me just point this out to you. If they lose to a top 10 program in the non-conference, yes, you can rebound from that before the end of the season. You lose to a non-ranked team in this part of the season, it's going to kill you. Now, the only way this could possibly change is if BYU becomes some power that nobody saw coming and goes on some crazy run this year and they themselves are sitting up there in the top 5 to top 10. Then this loss doesn't look as bad. Then if the Badgers run the schedule undefeated, which at this point I highly doubt, but then if they run the schedule undefeated and they knock off Ohio State, again, doubt it, but if they were to do all that, yeah, and BYU's in the top 10 at the same time, sure, then maybe they can be in the Final Four playoff at that point. But that's a lot of if come maybes in order to make all that work.
Well, to Rami's point, you remember they went undefeated into the Big Ten championship game. They played Ohio State. Ohio State had one loss, and Ohio State beat them. So they're tied. And Ohio State got a chance to be in the playoffs instead of the Badgers. And I'm like, okay, why is that? They had one loss apiece, but it depends. If you beat that team, then you just don't. You were undefeated all the way to then. You should have went to the national championship. You should have been in the playoffs. Just because you didn't win the Big Ten, that's the thing. If you win the Big Ten championship with two losses, you're going to be in the playoffs.
Nope.
If you're Ohio State. If you're Wisconsin, it ain't going to happen.
Dave tweets at 105.7 FM. The Fan thought the Badgers were ranked a little high considering how many defensive players they lost. Offensive line was praised as the best offensive line in the country. Manhandled Saturday. At the game on Saturday, was alarmed at the lack of urgency from this team. Disappointed for sure. Dave tweeting at 105.7 FM. The Fan. Do you think they took BYU for granted?
Not be all.
They might have taken them a little bit lightly.
They haven't lost at home in the non-conference.
Well, when they won the first week, remember they dropped. They were number five. They dropped. They won the first week. They dropped to six.
Right.
So I'm like, no one's really respecting them. So they're gonna have to go undefeated every year to have be in the possibility. And if they go undefeated, if it's a one-loss team in a big in another conference, a team that's been winning lately. They're going to always go over top of the Badgers. And that's why I agree with Rami. It's all rigged for certain schools to be in there.
Let's go to Dan and Racine. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. Dan, did we set our Badger expectations too high?
Absolutely. Especially after this. You know, Sparky, I'm with you. I thought they'd do better. But the fact is they came out there looking like they could just roll this team. All that they have to do is show up. They were listless. They look like crap. And quite frankly, Ohio State and Michigan are not going to lose at home when they're a 36-point favorite. It's just not going to happen. So for them to say that they ain't going to make the play, they're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to get a national championship with one loss because there's going to be more than just one this year. And they got what they got. They lost two good wide receivers. Their defense doesn't look like they're capable of stopping too much. The O-line looks okay, but Hornibrook's Hornibrook, and we got what we got. I think Chris kind of dropped the ball on us. They didn't have any enthusiasm. They look, it shouldn't have happened, but it did. And I think there's going to be more repercussions from this loss than what hopefully we don't have to see, but I think it's going to happen. That's all I got, fellas.
The other thing is
Thanks, you
got recruits at that game, too, that you're trying to solidify and get done. You got that, too. Guys that are committed that are now here, that could always open up the recruiting again if they decide they don't want to go to Wisconsin and possibly go somewhere else. There's a lot going on in that game. Grant tweets at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Honestly, Gary Ellerson is right. Every time Badger football gets ranked high in the preseason, they seem to lose to some unranked team. Although BYU is ranked now, but still, they should have rolled each team the last 3 weeks. Looked mediocre. That's from Grant tweeting at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, I admire your optimism if you're one of those Badgers fans who's still holding out hope that the playoff is in play or that a national championship is in play. I didn't think it was a real possibility before the season started, and now I think that they are absolutely out of the playoff picture with just one loss because the college football playoff system is just that rigged. Put this season to bed, Steve Sparky. Pfeiffer, put it right to bed.
We'll do with your Brook linen sheets. You can sleep nice and cozy and comfy in those Brook linen sheets. Name the winner of the best of online betting category by Good Housekeeping. Raving reviews from Business Insider. Brook linen is the fastest growing betting brand in the world. Over 20,000 five-star reviews. And once you climb into your sheets like I do, you'll realize why there are so many five-star reviews. It is just that easy to tell the first night you sleep in these sheets. Founded in early 2014 by a husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich, they decided to bring five-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life. These are luxury sheets without the luxury markup. From design to manufacturing to customer service and beyond, small business approach from being run by a husband and wife team to being involved in every step of the manufacturing process to a customer service team that cares so much, remember customers by name. My Brook Linen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving you an exclusive offer just for the Big Show listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code Sparky, S-P-A-R-K-Y, at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Sparky at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Sparky. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets up.
Has Clay Matthews simmered down since that roughing the passer penalty that he and Packers fans were none too pleased with on Sunday? We'll hear from the Packers linebacker right after this on the Wendy's Big Show.
You know, much like the helmet rule in the preseason, you know, it kind of feels as if they're just, you know, feeling this thing out and waiting for a hit or lack thereof hit to kind of determine the future of the callings. I mean, kind of similar to what we had with the replacement officials in Seattle back, you know, several years past. So, I mean, the unfortunate thing is, you know, we're talking about games here, and I know it's week 2, but every game matters.
That was Clay Matthews earlier today up at Lambeau Field. He brought up the Fail Mary. I've heard Packers fans bring up the Fail Mary since that call on Sunday essentially cost them the game. That's the first time I've seen a player bring it up. Is this in the same category, on the same level as that bad call that cost the Packers a game a few years back? Both happened early in the season.
Yeah, well, those are like replacement type refs. So
Take this the wrong way. I don't mean this as a knock on anybody, but with the way the rules are constantly changing in the NFL, aren't these guys on the same footing as replacement refs, where you're sort of learning
on the job? Point. That's a great point. You're the only one made that point. That's why you're the smartest guy on this show.
I try.
Allegedly. But this is different. Wasn't it Phil Mary? What? That wasn't a preseason game, was it?
That was a week 1.
Week 1. Seattle. First game. Yeah, this one here was just so devastating because you're going to beat a division, the team that won a division, and then really, based on the roster, Minnesota should have beat you, you know, by 10 points. So that, and then when you hear Aaron Rodgers later, you're going to come around and say, man, that particular call will go down as one of the worst calls in Packer history. It'll be the top 10, at least, that people are going to talk about because you could have won the game. Now, had, you know, Alexander dropped it or it was just incomplete or something like that, okay, great. But he caught it. The game was over. They're celebrating. Everybody in the stands celebrating. And then that flag. You know, the Hail Mary, you know, that can go either way, you know, but it still looked like the guy caught it.
Matthew's still hoping that the referees and the league.
I wonder, did he get fined for that?
I don't think we'll find that out until later in the week. But Matthew's hoping that the league and the referees are still sort of learning and tweaking these new rules, and we'll see it get a little better down the road.
Like I said, you saw how that helmet rule played out, leading with your helmet, and the league, you know, kind of officially, you know, made that change, and now you – you know, the only flags you see for that are, you know, completely egregious. So I'd like to think after this past weekend that, you know, refs will call this a little bit differently moving forward because, I mean, that's a huge game. Hopefully if all things continue to play out for our team in Minnesota, so, you know, we'll probably have playoff implications. So we're talking several months down the road. But like I said, every game counts. So we'll see what that means moving forward.
I don't think they will. I really don't think that they're going to change the way that they call this, and they certainly
they're going to use it as a.
That's what I was just going to say.
Okay,
what makes Clay think that they're going to change the way that they call this when the NFL said this week they're going to use this as this video as a tutorial of what not to do when sacking the quarterback?
Wow. I mean, I'm fine with them using it as a tutorial, but then you better show me a video. Then you better show me a video of what it's supposed to look like. Then, if you're going to say he can't do what he did, which I've explained a million times what he did and what he can't do, then you better show another sack in the National Football League from the beginning of the season of how you want them to sack the quarterback going forward. I'm telling you, if he wrapped him up and didn't put his arm under the leg, there's no flag. Simple and sweet. That's what they're saying. They don't want the arm under the leg, regardless if there's momentum involved or not. Don't put your arms under the quarterback's legs, because at that point, then you're not allowing him to fall the way he should fall, and in their mind, he's now going to land with his head slamming to the ground and his back on the ground, and therefore we have possibility of concussion or other things.
I don't know what they want these guys to do. I really don't know what they want these guys to do.
They don't want their quarterbacks hurt, man. Simple.
I know people are going to get hurt in the game of football.
But they're
going
to do everything they can to make sure that position doesn't.
Matthew says this was obviously a bad call to everyone, and he means everyone who is watching the game.
I mean, that was quite... obvious. I mean, it's, you know, obviously the NFL is going to double down and side with the refs. I don't think we expected anything differently when we submitted the play. I think we all know it was an incorrect call. I think everybody, including Vikings fans, you know, see it the same way.
Even Vikings fans, he thinks, see it the same way. You think Vikings fans see it the same way?
Probably. I think most football fans don't like the rule, regardless of where you are, regardless of whose fan you are at this point. But regardless, it's not about the fans. These rules are not about the fans. These rules are about the NFL owners. This is not about the fans. No fan was complaining about, ooh, boy, quarterbacks are getting too hard, NFL. I'm going to stop watching if you don't change the rules. That was never a fan complaint that I've ever seen. What happened was these owners said, we're investing too much money into these players to have them missing full seasons. See Aaron Rodgers twice now. We can't have that happen. And therefore, you have these rules that are currently in place. Plain and simple.
Okay, let's see. I really don't think this is going to work out to the NFL's favor. I don't think this will be the end of the NFL, but you know how we talk about boxing slowly died and went away? This might be the beginning of the end for the NFL. If this is how the game is going to be officiated and played.
XFL's coming.
But that's a garbage product, too, because they just don't have the talent. They might have the violence and the type of rules that football fans enjoy watching.
And the gimmicks.
But they don't have the players. They don't have the bros and the joes.
We're going to find out if that matters. That's what we're going to find out. We're going to find out if it really is about the bros and joes for fans of football or if it really truly is about the violence of the game. That's what you're going to find out.
And Clay Matthews pointed to Mike Daniels pulling up when he had a quarterback sack and the impact that these new rules are having on players in instances like that.
You know, in years prior, it looked like the quarterback had just gotten rid of the balls. He's hitting them. You take him to the ground. And now, you know, when you ease up, plays like that can happen. So, you know, I think everybody's on the same page as far as figuring out, you know, where we want to go with this. And I'm all for the spirit of keeping quarterbacks healthy because the game's better when you have guys like Aaron, you know, in the game and even Kirk for argument's sake in the game. But at the same time, you know, you're putting us at a real disadvantage on defense.
They've been doing that for years.
But now it's to the point where defenders don't even know what to do.
Yep.
You get to the quarterback and you have no idea what to do. You literally have to stop and think about how do I tackle this guy before you tackle him.
Tackle the football. That's the only safest way. Go in there and try to rip that ball out of his hand.
And then the reporters informed Clay that his video will now be used as a tutorial of what not to do.
They should pay him.
This is what he thought of that.
That's frustrating, too, because, you know, you can't just throw in new tactics and new rules as we're going along with it. Like I said, everything that's within that textbook of what to do as far as hitting a quarterback was checked off. You know, head across within the strike zone, not putting body weight on him, rolling off, you know, was checked down the list. So that makes it frustrating.
It does. That's the arrogance of the NFL. Mm-hmm. It was so good of a call. We're going to send that to every team. This is not. And then they put in what the word was. See, scoop.
Scoop and pull.
Yeah, scoop and pull. They put that in there now. I'm like, where that came from? Because the white cap.
No, I've heard that terminology before, but you know where I heard it from?
When I was being taught
how to tackle.
Okay.
Scoop and pull.
Yeah.
You wrap your arms around the waist or legs.
Scoop him up.
Scoop and pull. You want to pull him in close to you so that he can't throw the football, and you want to scoop him to get him off the ground because that's the goal of a defender is to get the guy with the ball off the ground.
That's what I do with dummies. You know, the tackling dummies? That's the same way you hit. I'm not calling quarterbacks dummies, but when you hit a tackling dummy, you put your head across and you hit a dummy go, shh. That's every coach out there know what I'm talking about. The dummy comes off the ground. So I don't know how they're going to fix it, but they're going to have to just make sure that they communicate it. But again, the white caps have a chance to use their discretion. At that time, at that point in the game, he could have looked at it as a hit. But what happened was he thought about the one earlier when Kendricks hit Aaron and said, I got to be fair. But that hit was different. But Aaron said, listen, neither one of the hits are dirty to me. And that shows his frustration, which we'll hear from him later. But they just got to get consistent on it.
But for all the frustration that we're talking about right now, Sparky, still love my NFL Sunday ticket that I get with DirecTV from Sound Solutions. Yeah, so true. Maybe okay. I'm just a hypocrite. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank goodness for that DirecTV and the NFL Sunday ticket. A great deal going on with Alan over at Sight and Sound Solutions as well right now. If you get the package I'm about to tell you about, you get your choice of two of the following three: HDTV, Blu-ray player, and a $100 Visa gift card. Two of those three, your choice, but you have to sign up now and in the foreseeable future going forward. This is what you get, $99 a month to start. You get AT&T home phone, AT&T internet, DirecTV choice package. That includes Fox Sports Wisconsin. You get their Genie, their home DVR, 1,000 hours of recording time. You get DirecTV set up by Sight and Sound Solutions within a couple of days of you calling to get them all set up and booked for the package we're talking about. Plus, you get the NFL Sunday ticket at no extra charge for this football season. Get football the way you want with NFL Sunday ticket only on DirecTV. Every out-of-market game, every Sunday. Plus, watch games anywhere on your favorite device. Call Sight and Sound Solutions today at 262-754-1500 to get the exclusive offer, two of three, HDTV, Blu-ray player, or a $100 Visa card. Two of those three. If you call today and get the package I just told you about, 262-754-1500, 262-754-1500. NFL Sunday ticket. I'll make renews each season. Prevailing rain. Let's cancel prior to start of the season. It's like international games excluded. Won't access to one game at a time. Date show may apply. Call for details.
Some took issue with Mike McCarthy's play calling Sunday afternoon. Did Ryan Wood, our Green Bay football insider, will join us right after this on the Wendy's Big Show. It's the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and the Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. And there is that guy who covers the Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and us right here on the Wendy's Big Show on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is Ryan Wood. How are you this afternoon, Woody?
I'm doing terrific. How are you?
We're doing well. Once everybody finally got over the roughing the passer penalty, or got as over it as they're going to get, and we started hearing other complaints from Sunday's Packers-Vikings game, one of the things we heard, and we've heard it before, is Mike McCarthy's play calling, and he took his foot off the gas pedal. Is that what the way you saw it upon watching this one back, Ryan?
Well, I think the thing I heard from fans is that he was too aggressive at the end. They should have forced the Vikings to call timeouts. What was interesting to me is that, I mean, my mind just went straight back to Seattle, where in the final 5 minutes he ran the football and tried to force the Seahawks to take timeouts and was absolutely crushed for doing that. So he does the opposite Sunday, and he gets crushed for that. I mean, you can be mad at one or the other. I don't think you could be mad at both. The one play, and you know, coming out of the Bears game, Mike McCarthy said the one play that he wanted back was that screen pass that ended up being a pick six to Khalil Mack with DeShone Kizer. If there's a play that Mike McCarthy wanted back from last week's game, it's got to be 2:05 left, 5 seconds before the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter. The clock's going to stop in 5 seconds. So you're about the 12-yard line. You have an opportunity. And as we know, they threw on second and third down. So they're going for the points, which is frankly the right call, because points, a touchdown in that situation, really ends the game. But with 2:05 left, knowing that the clock was going to stop, knowing that they were going to go take a shot on second and third down, they handed it to Jamal Williams, which I just thought – it was kind of a wasted play. I mean, Jamal Williams isn't going to hit the end zone from 12 yards out. You look at what he does. He's a kind of a 3 or 4 yard runner. He doesn't really get to double digits very often. So I was surprised that was kind of, you know, maybe something changed during the course of the 2-minute warning and decided, hey, let's go and get the touchdown here and end the game, because it would have. But I thought that was kind of punting on that first down play.
We talk about Mike McCarthy and how good he is as a coach. I think my one knock on him as a coach is how long it takes for them to get plays in sometimes, and how little time Rodgers actually has when he gets to the line of scrimmage to actually check down into an audible or something like that. That's the one thing I think that bothers me the most.
And he talks all the time about communication too, and that being the real stress of game day is communicating from the coaching box or from the sideline to the field. You know, it was interesting in the aftermath of the Clay Matthews hit. One of the things that had been discussed was, you know, reviewing that type of a play, which I see the merit in. But Mike McCarthy was asked that this week, and he said, "I just want them to to review the plays they should review. That on that second down, coming out of the 2-minute warning, the Davante Adams play in the end zone. It looked like Eric Kendricks made a heck of a play, kind of breaking up a touchdown pass. But the fact that play wasn't reviewed is really hard to understand. It was if nothing else, it was close. It directly correlated to points on the board if that play is overturned. Mike McCarthy, you know, you talk about the process of you know, communicating. They actually took the penalty there and didn't send the play out of the field because they wanted to force the booth's hands inside the 2-minute warning. Coaches can't challenge. It comes from the league. Wanted to force their hands, and that never was reviewed. And that was kind of baffling, I think, not just to Mike McCarthy, but to anyone that was watching.
But even when you get to 5 yards, you still got more time to review it. I was hoping one of the refs would call it a touchdown, then they would have to because it's automatic. But
yeah, right.
Right. But, you know, because, you know, the thing about it, Ryan, when I played – either losses, and that's what the guy said, feels like, or games you're just dejected, you don't want it to crawl over to the next game because you're playing a bad Washington team that you want to beat. And if you're still thinking about things like that, sometimes you get set up because we lost to a 0-10 team from the Colts because we were always thinking, you know, if you lose a game, you got to get it out of your head and move forward. Does it sound like these guys moved past the Minnesota game?
Well, I'll be honest. They didn't practice today in part because they're coming off of a Sunday night game week one and then 70 minutes in really hot and humid conditions last week. So there were fewer guys in the locker room to talk to today. Mm-hmm. The Clay Matthews hit continues to be, I think, a big deal.
It's yeah.
really a frustration going forward.
Right.
But – yeah, I mean, you're right. They're going to have to move on, and they're going to have not just the Packers, but defenders in general throughout the league. I think the three words that kind of sum up how do you legally hit a quarterback at this point is I don't know,
right.
And that's kind of a scary thing because there's 15 more weeks left and there's 14 more games to play, and I don't know is not going to cut it. This is to not know how to hit a quarterback in the middle of September. It's just not a good thing for the league as a whole. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to move past that. They're going to have to move on to Washington. You know, one good thing, you know, Kevin King is not going to play this week. The groin is going to keep him out this week. And the fact that it was so early in the week that was decided, you have to wonder when we will see Kevin King again. That this Kevin King injury is to that level of concern. But he's not going to at least play this week. The good news for the Packers is that the schedule kind of opens up. I mean, they're not playing another Kirk Cousins, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen type offense for a while. Washington doesn't have that. The Bills don't have that. Detroit doesn't have that on the horizon. So they do have a break in the schedule where they can be maybe without their best corner. But that's going to be big moving forward as well.
Talking with Ryan Wood, our Green Bay football insider here on the Wendy's Big Show. I want to go back to that point that you just made about players not knowing what is a legal way to tackle the quarterback here as we approach the month of November. For all the talk of the Clay Matthews video being used as a tutorial of what not to do, have you heard, Ryan, if anybody is coming to locker rooms or if they're sending video to locker rooms with instructionals and tutorials on what you actually can do? Because that seems to be the thing that players are most confused about, is they look at all the things that are eliminated from their arsenal and that they're allowed to do, and they go, well, what's left? What exactly can we do? How are we allowed to hit and tackle a quarterback? Has the NFL provided anything like that where they actually tell these guys what they can do rather than what they can't?
No, I think they'd have to have an answer to that question provided first. I'm not convinced that the NFL actually does. So I think that's asking a little too much at this point. No, it's everything's been revolved around what you can't do. Don't do this. Don't do that. Like Clay Matthews said today, this is how they've been tackling since they were kids.
Yep.
I mean, you're taught to wrap up with your arms. That's what you're taught. You know, you need to go further. You're taught not to lead with your head and those things. But, like, the very first thing, day one of Pop Warner, that you're taught in terms of tackling is to wrap with your arms. That's the very first thing. And now that's a penalty because he lifted the leg, even though Kirk Cousins jumped. And it's all very confusing, and it's not good because these defenders, they're going to have to learn how to do something over the next 14 games. To me right now, the league and its teams, especially its players, are at a stalemate on this issue. For the NFL to emphatically say, no, these two hits are not how you're supposed to hit the quarterback, and then Mike McCarthy today to say, we're not changing how we're coaching it, for Clay Matthews to say it was obviously an incorrect call, for Aaron Rodgers to say, not just was the Clay Matthews penalty not a penalty, but neither was Eric Kendricks when he hit me, and that he was shocked to see that a penalty was thrown when he was hit, it's a stalemate. And one of these sides are going to have to adjust in some way, or it's going to be a big issue going forward.
That's our Green Bay football insider, Ryan Wood, our guest every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here on the Wendy's Big Show, and find his work at PackersNews.com, on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Always appreciate it, Woody. We'll get your prediction for Packers and Redskins. We'll see if you can stay perfect when you join us on Friday.
I don't know about perfect.
Wait, undefeated. I'm sorry. Undefeated.
That's right. There we go. I'll try not to tie again. All right.
Thanks, Ryan.
He does seem to be calmed down quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he'll join us again on Friday on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935. That Ryan Wood is a gem, isn't he, Leroy?
He sure is. And if you ever want a gem, now's the time, the 25th anniversary of the Leap Watch. We only have a few available. You can go to leapwatch.com and you can get all the. Matter of fact, we got videos, we got pictures and everything to talk about it. You actually get a free shirt with a bottle opener at the bottom of the shirt. It's a pretty cool shirt.
Sewn into the actual shirt.
It's amazing. I mean, if you're at a tailgating party or something like that, you're going to be the hit. And then you can show them the watch that you have. We're only going to make 360 of these available. And they'll be delivered between November and December 1st. So you want to make sure you go to leapwatch.com. And you can pick your favorite player. Whoever your favorite player is, it doesn't matter who it is. You can pick his number and you can tweet him and show him that you have his number. And I'm sure he'll be flattered by it. Of course, I got 36. I think Aaron Rodgers is gone. Brett Favre is gone. And a plethora of other guys. I think Gilbert Brown is gone. But I'm sure you have other Packer players you want to get to watch commemorate the Leap and your favorite player. So go to leapwatch.com, or you can go to shoptjc.com as well.
You know what happened to me with that shirt? You brought some of those in for the guys on the big show. I took mine home. I don't know if this happens to you guys. I take it home. My girlfriend sees it.
Uh-oh. Yeah, it happened to me, too.
She picks it up. She goes, oh, this is nice. Thanks.
I ain't seen my buffeting shirt yet.
Thanks. I didn't offer that up to anybody. What do you mean, thanks? I haven't seen the damn thing since.
What's yours is hers. What's hers is yours.
Well, that's when you're married.
Not yeah, we ain't married. She didn't put the ring on it yet.
No. Dude, if you're living together, that's how it rolls. That's how it is.
That's a topic.
That's how it is.
Yeah, that's a topic.
Like, not even like, oh.
We just living together. You stay on your side. I stay on mine.
Not even like, oh,
you
can
ain't
I
be living
have
together
this?
Very long.
Yeah, can I have this? Is this mine? Nothing. Just, oh, thanks.
Yeah, you got to save something for marriage, right?
You say you're welcome.
So why get married, Steve, if everything mine is hers? Why get married?
Hey, are you seeing? Are you seeing this?
He got out of
this
quick,
little Twitter thing going on.
What little Twitter thing going on?
We don't watch
Rob Domofsky. Tweets approached Jimmy Graham in the locker room, and he said he had no time to speak. Hasn't talked to the media since July 28th. Asked him if he would ever speak to us. He said that's not my thing. When asked if he had just paid the $10,000 fine, he had, meaning he already paid the fine. He's done. Jimmy Graham saw it and responded back to Rob Domofsky. Next time you want to call me out, drop a pair and tag me.
Whoa.
Rob Domofsky then tweeted back, our system of duplicating postable Twitter and ESPN.com doesn't allow for use of Twitter handles. Mm. Jimmy Graham not happy.
So it's
that,
a policy thing.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham not happy that Rob Domofsky told everybody that he's not talking to the media, apparently.
Well, I mean, we kind of picked up on it.
I don't see what the big deal is.
Rob telling us.
Like, dude, chill the hell out. Like,
we kind of picked up on it.
Right. We all knew Sterling Sharp wasn't talking to us back in the day. Didn't need to have that on Twitter to know that.
Right.
I tell all these guys, talk to the media. It's great promotion for yourself. And you could tell your own narrative. If you don't like the headlines, they'll give you a chance to say what you want. And, you know, if you ever get in a back and forth, you can never be depend. Or just pay your fine and just keep your head down. But hey, I'm okay with it either way. It's your right to do whatever. But use it to your advantage. That's the one thing you can use to your advantage. Because it's hard for you to say, I don't want to talk to the media, but when I want to promote something, can I get the media to come? It's kind of hypocritical. So
very
use it to your advantage. And then you'll probably work with the media when you're done.
You might
like Sterling.
Host the Wendy's Big Show.
Right.
Right. You just
and
never
Gary
know.
Hired me, I don't know how many years ago, but he coaxed me into an interview. I thought I was just going to do an interview. And I went to see Alan Kirschbaum, and I've been here
our
for
old general manager.
8 or 9 years now.
Next thing you know, here you are.
Yeah.
You can't get out. Now you're trapped.
Yeah.
He's
now
one
Now you just can't leave. Yeah.
I would actually say, not to embarrass him, but I think that Tom Parker is the best guy to work for. He understands everything that you throw at him. He makes it work. Just for me now. I don't know about y'all.
Oh,
he's
I'm good. Yeah.
He's the best PD.
For me.
He's the best PD we've had.
For me.
By far.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah, he's the best PD
every
we've
time
had.
I've
that
asked,
last guy?
Yeah.
Whew. We'll hit a quick
allegedly.
Break.
I had to wait for him in a different market.
Oh, God.
Whew. That last guy.
Boy. He laughed, didn't
I'm not. I'm really not.
You ain't lying.
And I'm not just saying that because he's gone.
He
that dude. The Packers are going to get a little boost, a little jolt to the offense this week, but will they use it? Should they use it? We'll discuss that with you right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.